Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't decide the law. Call the Wallace Firm now at 844-844-WINS. By holding insurance accountable, the Wallace Firm is helping our community rebuild. That's 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com, proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
All right, Lakers taking on the Portland Trailblazers coming up tomorrow. 6 o'clock tip-off. And pregame show starts at 4. We'll go 2 hours tomorrow for pregame. So myself and Michael Thompson. By the way, Nick Torres out of Bakersfield, California. Congratulations. He's our winner. Eighth caller. Part of our Mamba Mondays in the month of August. A Hoopery hoodie. So those that were calling in and you were seventh, you got to be better next time. What do you want me to tell you? If you were 14th, pick up your game a little bit. Got to be number eight. I appreciate you guys calling in. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Okay, so I want to play this because it's not every day you see something like this, but I want to actually hear the argument. Jalen Rose was on NBA Countdown, and he was talking about Anthony Davis. And I know Laker fans are going to get very protective when I play this, and they're going to say, well, what the hell does Jalen Rose know? And they're going to say, no, 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 Anthony Davis, he's the elite of the elite in the NBA, which everybody will agree with. But let me play this real quick from Jalen Rose. Jalen Rose was talking about Anthony Davis and where he sees him in the NBA.
I asked Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren yesterday why they did that.
All right, that one is, we'll find that one. We'll find that one. Thought I was getting Jalen Rose. I think I was getting Heather Dinich breaking it down for college football. So let me kind of sum this up real quick, because Anthony Davis, what we got coming up with AD, you know, I maybe this is promoting it too high, but the Lakers are going to live and die by Anthony Davis. The Lakers are going to live and die by AD. You know what made, and I know, you know, most people obviously know this, but what made Kobe Bryant so great for the Lakers, what made Shaquille O'Neal a Laker great, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, James Worthy, Pau Gasol, Jamal, Will Chamberlain. I could go down the list. Everybody knows. Go to Staples Center. Don't go now, but when they open it up again, we know what makes those players great. What makes them great, when the playoffs started, they took their game to a different level. When postseason came around, whatever they did in the regular season was one thing, but what they did in the postseason was completely different. I cannot wait to start watching Anthony Davis come tomorrow. I cannot wait for the pressure to be on Anthony Davis's back and AD delivers. For a player like him that came from New Orleans, wanted to leave the Pelicans, wanted an opportunity to go play for a team and a franchise that would give him an opportunity to win an NBA championship, that's everything, everything to a player like Anthony Davis to be on the Lakers, and now he's got a legitimate shot, and he's playing with LeBron James. But you know what comes with all that is an incredible amount of attention. What comes with that is you watch this Lakers team starting tomorrow. Everyone will talk about Anthony Davis when he delivers, but the noise will be even louder if he has a game where he didn't play up to his potential. Windhorst was talking about how there are games from Anthony Davis when he was back in New Orleans where he was putting up 42-plus, where he had those types of games. But at the same time, you know, everything changes and it's magnified here in Los Angeles. And when I start naming off, you know, the greats like I did, I do it for a reason. Their playoff performances is what made them great. Anthony Davis is not a Laker great, right? I mean, we all know that. By the way, LeBron James isn't a Laker great. You only become a great is when you perform in the postseason. But LeBron's a great, period. LeBron is going to go down as top three, top two, top five, wherever you want to put him as one of the greats to ever do it, because he performed in the postseason at such a high level year in and year out. And he took teams that shouldn't have gone to an NBA championship, shouldn't have got to the NBA Finals, and he took them to the NBA Finals. He took teams that shouldn't have won an NBA championship, and he won NBA championships. Anthony Davis doesn't have that on his resume, and I'm not, you know, hyping all this up to put this pressure on AD. This is the reality. The reality is, starting tomorrow for Anthony Davis, this is the most important critical stretch in his career so far. Now, that doesn't mean in a year from now he's not going to have a more important stretch. That doesn't mean in 2 years from now it's going to just become more and more pressure that falls on AD's back. The point I'm making is, starting tomorrow, Anthony Davis will have never gone through anything like this before in his career. And the expectations for Anthony Davis is he's not, you know, top five in the NBA. The expectations for Anthony Davis is, when playoffs start, there are going to be times when LeBron's sharing the same court with you, but you're the best player on the court. That's the AD the Lakers need. They don't have a choice, by the way. Let me play this. We got it from Jalen Rose. Jalen Rose on NBA Countdown, talking about Anthony Davis.
AD's all-NBA, first team. He all-NBA. But when we talk about the five best players in the game,
top five.
He got more work to do. I really believe he got more work to do to get mentioned in that top five category.
What is the work that he needs to do?
This year in the playoffs.
Okay,
this year in the playoffs. This is why we wanted him in L.A. This is why he wanted to be there, to play on this big stage with LeBron James. I think this is an opportunity for him to have that coming out party.
All right, so I don't necessarily disagree with Jalen Rose. Like, I understand what he's saying. It's one thing to do it in the regular season. It's one thing to be a player on a team where you know you don't have a chance at winning an NBA championship. That's what the deal was in New Orleans. But then there reached a point in your career where you're 26 years old and you're saying, I got to get the hell out of here. If I'm going to have a chance to go and start being mentioned with some of the all-time greats or some of the all-time bigs, I got to win championships and I got to get with a franchise that can potentially help me get there. And the track record, obviously, the Lakers have is stars eventually come play for the Lakers and you increase your chance of winning an NBA championship. That's what Anthony Davis signed up for.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So when Jalen says he's not top five yet, I understand what he's saying. First of all, he is top five. He's top five because he's arguably the best defensive player of the in the NBA, but he can also drop 30 and 15 any night. If you're doing it on both sides like that, that just makes you a top five player. Most of the players that we're talking about are top five. Do it on both sides of the court, and we know that Anthony Davis is as good as anyone when it comes to that. So that's a storyline I'm most looking forward to as this NBA gets as the postseason starts tomorrow. It really is. It has been, by the way. I don't know if you guys got a chance to hear Stephen A. Smith about the Lakers and the Portland Trailblazers. And, you know, he talked about how the Lakers should be scared of Portland and all this. We're starting to hear all of that stuff. And one of the points I think you're getting more and more momentum going into this is, okay, well, we know the expectations for LeBron, AD, and that kind of continues to be there. But you're also starting to hear a lot of chatter about Kyle Kuzma. And you're starting to hear a lot of chatter about what Kuzma needs to do for the Lakers. We heard Kuz talk about this, LeBron talk about this last week, that Kuz got to be the third best player on the team, something along those lines. Here's head coach Frank Vogel talking about what has changed for Kuz so far and some expectations going into the playoffs.
Well, I just think a couple things are in play here, right? First, this is the Kuz we expected to see to start the season. And he obviously started without a training camp in a role that he's not accustomed to from the last couple of years with the team that they had put together in years past. So a different role coming off the bench and then battling, I think, three different injuries for the first part of the season really hampered him. And, you know, I think what we're seeing now is someone that is now comfortable in the role that he's in and fully healthy. And the combination of that has been he's been one of our best players down here. one of our most consistent scoring options. And, you know, he's, to me, he's always competed at a very, very high level on a defensive end. Even if he's making mistakes, he's making mistakes playing hard.
Right.
And, you know, that's what we've seen, you know, in the bubble down here.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. He was actually on a little bit earlier today with Mason in Ireland. And I don't know what Kuz is going to be on a night in, night out basis for the Lakers. I know they can most definitely use his scoring punch. I know they could most definitely, you know, obviously what it would mean for the Lakers if he becomes a player that you can rely on for 15 to 18 points a game, and he's playing good defense, and Lakers have an opportunity to kind of, they can go smaller just defensively, or they go smaller even offensively, take a team like Portland Trailblazers, make the Blazers adjust to them. I don't know what it means. I don't know if we're going to see that, but we do know how important Kuzma is going to be for the Lakers. It's not going to be just Kuz. You know, I've kind of said this. There's still a lot of players that got something to prove, especially as we try to look at what the Lakers look like back in March compared to what they look like right now. I do see players like KCP, Alex Caruso, Danny Green. I mean, all these guys got to be much better. I got more from head coach Frank Vogel, who spent a little time also talking about Rajon Rondo, who, by the way, is medically cleared, but he won't play tomorrow. Coach, given that update.
So Rajon practiced today. You know, obviously he's got a little ways to go with regard to getting his legs under him. He is medically cleared, but unlikely to play tomorrow.
How huge would that be for the Lakers? You know, initially it was 6 to 8 weeks that we wouldn't get Rajon Rondo. If he comes back in this first round, I mean, I could just tell you my observation from what we're getting a chance to watch on a night-in-night-out basis with the Lakers. The flow of offense has been awful. There's a reason why they call him Playoff Rondo. He has definitely performed in the postseason. And all he's got to do for the Lakers, you know, with all that in mind, is just be the setup guy, be the quarterback. When LeBron James comes off the floor, you can have a guy that you can depend on and rely on to, you know, put together the work. And that's obviously going to be what Rajon Rondo can do if hypothetically that can happen. So I wanted to invite somebody to the show tonight, Jamie Hudson, who covers the Blazers for NBC Sports Northwest. I wanted to get a perspective from Portland. You know, I try to be as objective as possible, but the reality is I always still have my Lakers lens on. So with that being said, you know, you look at this Portland Trailblazers team and there is so much chatter behind them. How did they get in this position? Why did they go 7-2 in the bubble? So she'll be able to break that down for us. So she's coming up next. Plus, by the way, just to give a quick update, I feel like every time I do this, Clippers go on a run. Great game. Great game right now in Orlando. 99-98, Clippers with a 1-point lead. About 6 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. So by the time this show is done at 9 o'clock, I'm sure this game will be done. So I'll keep you guys posted on that front. Maybe I'm cheering for the Dallas Mavericks as if I'm from Dallas. We have Jamie Hudson coming up next. She'll give us a lowdown on the Portland Trailblazers. Stay right here. Lakers Talk, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lots to prove for the Los Angeles Lakers, and it all starts tomorrow. Pre-game show starts at 4 o'clock, myself and Michael Thompson. Tip-off will be at 6 o'clock, John Ireland and Michael Thompson. And when I say a lot to prove, I mean, just think about the last year for this Los Angeles Lakers franchise and the hype around what this team can do, their capabilities, a chance for number 17. It's been a long, obviously an incredibly long season for everybody, 63 games, and then you stop for 4.5 months. A lot of other things have gone on with this Los Angeles Lakers franchise. So when I say that there's a lot to prove, what I mean by that is you're going to be going up against a Portland Trailblazers team that treated this Orlando bubble as if every game mattered, because every game mattered, where the Lakers for 8 games, that wasn't the case. So I do want to welcome in Jamie Hudson, who covers the Blazers for NBC Sports Northwest. Jamie, I appreciate you doing this. Thank you for joining the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Okay, so my thought process here was someone like yourself who's got a chance to watch the Blazers, obviously, all season, and just to kind of see this journey that they've been on, and then they get to this Orlando bubble knowing that every game is so critical to them. Can you just sum up for those Laker fans that are out there that didn't get a chance to watch Portland over these 9 games, how would you sum up? What's the team that we just saw that's now going to face the Lakers in the first round? How would you sum up what they accomplished going 7-2?
Well, you talked about it earlier, having that already playoff mentality. And it's crazy, Alan, because before this Blazers team left for Orlando, we had various interviews with them over Zoom in Portland, and how they were already talking, how focused they were, and how Damian Lillard, he wanted that chance to make the postseason. We heard about it, right? It was reported by Chris Haynes that Damian Lillard was not going to go to Orlando unless the Blazers had a chance to make the playoffs. So when Dame says something, he means it. We know that here in Portland. And I think now everyone's really seeing that. And not to mention, I'm sure you talked a lot about this, Alan, but Damian Lillard, when he missed those 2 clutch free throws.
Sure, against the Clippers.
The Los Angeles Clippers, yep. That, first of all, it was very rare to see Dame miss in crunch time like that. But then that fueled him, not only because he took responsibility for that loss, but then to have both Patrick Beverley and Paul George taunting Dame. When I saw that, whether it was tapping the wrist or saying Dame dollar time and laughing about it, I thought, oh, hell, the NBA better watch out, because that is what Damian Lillard loves. He thrives on that. He's that type of player with the chip on his shoulder. And then he went out and he's proven that. And then also this Blazers team, it's probably the healthiest they've been all season. Obviously getting back their 2 big men in Yusuf Nurkic and Zach Collins, although Collins is now dealing with a new injury, with an ankle injury. But this Blazers team, they're real motivated, and they don't feel like, and they don't believe that they're an 8 seed. They just are more confident than that.
Is it Jamie Hudson, who covers the Blazers for NBC Sports Northwest, joining Lakers Talk? Jamie, is it I spent some of the show, and this is, hopefully I don't have my Laker hat on, and I'm speaking objectively. I think there is, I feel like there's a little bit too much hype right now on the Blazers, and then all of a sudden for the Lakers, because they went 3-5 in this Orlando bubble, as far as the restart goes, there's a lot of people kind of jumping off the Lakers bandwagon. Is there something there? Do you think there's kind of a middle ground on that? Or do you think the hype that's behind the Blazers is legit and they do have as good of an opportunity to beat the Lakers as the Lakers do to beat the Blazers?
I think there's some middle ground. It's definitely a series that has been really hyped by national media, regional media, and sure, you don't go against Damian Lillard often, especially in this town and what he's been able to do late in games. And that's the thing, Alan. This team, they can score in bunches.
Sure.
They're the highest scoring bubble team, right? So as long as they keep it close with the Lakers, I mean, hell, then I think they've got a chance in every game if they can just keep within striking distance. But I think Coach Vogel said it perfectly over the weekend when he said the Blazers have been playing at an elite level offensively. And that is the thing. This Blazers team, they have struggled on the defensive end, especially on the perimeter. That is just not their strong suit. And getting a guy like Yusuf Nurkic back, he is called the Bosnian Beast for a reason. And he, you know, anchors the defense down low. But the Blazers on the perimeter have just really struggled. And so I know that the Lakers have struggled from
definitely have struggled. Yeah, you have both sides. Yeah. It is kind of funny because you have one team that gives up. I mentioned earlier in the bubble, I think the Portland gave up on average 123 points per game. And the Lakers, it's not like they've been shooting lights out. You know, they were walking in, I think, to that final game, not even averaging 100 points, you know, inside of the bubble. So we'll see what kind of gives. So defensively, that's safe to say, that's fair to say that Blazers, that's an area that they certainly struggled with.
Yes, it certainly is. And obviously, matchup problems will be there with your main man, LeBron James. I know the Blazers have been talking about who they want to be defending him. And really, the Blazers are missing their starting forward, Trevor Ariza. And that has
been a big loss.
So noticeable during these bubble games. But no, I think that this is going to be a high-scoring series. It's going to be fun to watch, Alan, that's for sure.
We have Jamie Hudson, who covers the Blazers for NBC Sports Northwest, joining Lakers talk. Jamie, did Portland just in general, I know the team probably thought one way, but how about the fan base? Do they think they have a legitimate shot of getting a chance to be in this postseason? I mean, before the bubble even started, what was the conversation in Portland?
Yeah, there was a lot of excitement because of the return of Nurkic and Zach Collins, and not to mention the idea of having Damian Lillard and Carmelo Anthony play in the postseason together. That got a lot of fans jazzed up. And Alan, as you've seen, I mean, Melo is not only skinny Melo, but he is playing he's playing some vintage Melo, but his clutch moments that he's had.
He's had some big shots.
He's hit some big shots, some big threes. He's come up with some loose balls. Like in the fourth quarter, when the Blazers need, whether it's a bucket or a stop or something, Carmelo Anthony has been able to come up with that. So Mel's been huge down the stretch in these seeding games, and I think that Blazer fans are stoked to see what Dame and Melo can get done in the playoffs.
Okay, a couple quick more. I just want to get your thoughts. So staying real quick with Carmelo, was he like this all season? I mean, what did he buy in? I saw an article about his relationship with Damian Lillard. Damian, back in Thanksgiving, invited him to Thanksgiving dinner, and they kind of started growing their relationship. Is this coming from, again, back to Damian Lillard's leadership, that Carmelo's kind of bought into this system, that if he's going to thrive on it, he has to thrive within a specific role? Would you say that's accurate, that even Carmelo's his success still kind of falls along the line of what Damian Lillard has helped kind of build?
Yes, I would say that is accurate. And it's crazy, too, with Damian Lillard, and you think about his relationship with CJ McCollum. And so for those who don't know, CJ knows his role, and he understands that this is Damian Lillard's team, but he also knows that he is a big piece. And the relationship between Dame and CJ, it's something that I've never seen between players, because you could easily say CJ McCollum could leave Portland, go to another team, and he could be the man. Mm. But he doesn't want to, because he loves being with Damian Lillard. Like they've got this great relationship. And then you throw Melo into the mix, and because of how Dame always genuinely talks about how he cares about his teammates and how, you know, he puts his teammates first, I think Melo's bought into that real easy. And Carmelo Anthony has even said, I should have been here in Portland a few years ago when Dame and CJ were recruiting me back then. So they've kind of joked about, oh, man, what could have been a few years back. But between the three of them, Dame, CJ, and Melo, they've got a good thing going.
Well, Jamie, it should be a fun series. So I appreciate you taking some time, joining the show, giving us a little rundown, what to expect from the Blazers. Lakers-Blazers tipping off tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Jamie Hudson covers the Blazers for NBC Sports Northwest. Thanks for doing this, Jamie. Have a good rest of your night, and good luck this series.
All right. Thanks, Alan. Take care.
All right. Okay, quick update here. 114-106. Clippers now up 8. 41 seconds left to go. Luka Doncic going to the free throw line, but it looks like this game is pretty much wrapped up. You know what I noticed? This happened last week, too. We got games going on, and I'm watching part of the game, in a sense, right? Just keeping track of the score, and have no idea of some of the just some of the plays going. I didn't even realize Porzingis got thrown out of this game for a second technical on, you know, kind of a game-changing, could be a series-changing moment for something so stupid. Luka Doncic, by the way, has, I think, 42 points, 9 assists, and 11 turnovers. Not many people get triple-doubles off turnovers. All right, final thoughts coming up next. We will continue to preview the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Portland Trailblazers. And the hype that's going around this series. It might be the most hyped up series of all the actually it's not probably it is. I don't know of another series that's getting as much hype as the Lakers and the Portland Trailblazers. So we'll do all that coming up next. If you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710-ESPN. All right, another player that everyone's looking forward to see tomorrow is Damian Lillard. By the way, Lillard's numbers in the bubble. You guys see this? CJ McCollum averaging 25-5 in the bubble. Dame, 31, 9.6 assists and 4.3 rebounds. So both of those, just the backcourt for the Blazers alone, over 50 points a game, over 15 assists, over 10 rebounds out of the Portland starting guards. I guess that's, you know, it's not a surprise. That's their strength. That's what they're supposed to be doing. Head coach Frank Vogel earlier today on how you defend Damian Lillard, he gives his thoughts.
Yeah, we're going to have to make it a team effort. Obviously, losing Avery hurts. Avery's one of the best perimeter defenders in the league and a great matchup for someone like Dame. But we can't be worried about who's not here. I've got a lot of confidence in the perimeter defenders we have on our team. And, you know, this is not a player that gets stopped with one man. You know, this has got to be a team effort for all 48 minutes. And, you know, we got to be tied together with how we're going to bring help and, you know, not make ourselves too vulnerable on the backside when a double team comes.
All right, we got any head coaches out there? Somebody that's aspiring to be a head coach? Somebody that thinks when they watch games that they got all the X's and O's down? Somebody when they're playing pickup basketball uses two timeouts and says, let's readjust? 877-710-ESPN, if you got an idea how to stop Damian Lillard. I will say this about Dame. As great as he's been, you know, one of the things watching these games with the Blazers, and we're all watching them because for Laker fans, we're trying to figure out, all right, are we playing the Blazers? Is it going to be the Spurs, the Phoenix Suns, Memphis? You were keeping track, even though you were always giving the Portland Trailblazers the edge. One of the things that I noticed is it's not just Dame. I mean, Carmelo Anthony. You heard Jamie Hudson mentioning it, who covers the Blazers. You heard her talking about how big Carmelo has been, hitting big-time shots, but usually the attention Damian Lillard gets, he's going for 40 or going for 50, or how he had in one of his bubble games, 61. Whatever that scenario looks like, right? Dame is setting up other guys. Gary Trent Jr. is getting his own. I already mentioned CJ McCollum is getting 20-plus points in the bubble. And then Yusuf Nurkic handling business as well. The only reason why I mention all of this is because I'm curious how the Lakers will guard Dame tomorrow. Is it, all right, let Dame go off for 40, but make sure all these other players don't get going? Maybe that's the game plan. I have no idea, by the way. Or is it, all right, no, throw two guys at Damian Lillard and make Dame have to pass the ball. And Gary Trent, you're going to have to put in seven threes. And McCollum, you're going to have to get 25 points plus. And Carmelo, you're going to get some wide open looks. I don't know how the Lakers are going to guard him, but I'm sure one of those two scenarios are going to play out. Either the Lakers are going to say, Dame, go get yours, but nobody else is going to get that opportunity. Or Dame, you're going to have to dish the ball. It's going to be all about the role players. You know, one of the big advantages, I talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, one of the big advantages Lakers will have against the Mavs is during the regular season, Lakers were playing defense. Defense was actually one of the strong suits on this Lakers team. Anthony Davis, Lakers were leading the NBA in block shots. that's been one of the huge advantages for the Lakers just in general this season. And in this bubble, it became one of the Achilles' heel. Lakers, you know, weren't playing defense on a consistent basis, and we all know that that certainly wasn't the case. And Damian Lillard's one of those players that certainly is not going to help on that front. Kyle Kuzma, this was a couple days ago, talking specifically about Damian Lillard and a potential first-round matchup against Dame.
No, it's not a worst-case scenario. I think that anytime you can be tested early in a playoff is going to help you out in other rounds. So, obviously, them getting the eighth seed would be, a very tough matchup for us. You know, Dame presents a lot of the challenges because he's an excellent player all around. You see the shot making, but his leadership and everything else. So, I don't think it's worst case scenario because, you know, we're war ready. We're ready to play anybody.
All right, that's Kyle Kuzma right there saying they're ready to play anybody. I want to see that. And I think a lot of Laker fans, it's one thing to kind of say it, but I think there is this kind of this curiosity here. It's like, all right, well, by the time the regular season ended and by the time we finished in March to where we sit today, we need some reminders that that team still exists. We need some reminders that that Los Angeles Lakers team that was making it happen for 63 games, they have that ability to turn that switch back on. I do think it's okay to have it in your head that you have to be, Lakers have to show that again. They have to prove it again. But all those that spent this past couple of weeks talking about, or even these past couple of days, Portland's going to upset the Lakers, or Portland's going to go on and win an NBA championship, or Damian Lillard's unstoppable, the Lakers are in big time trouble. I think that's jumping to conclusion. And we got a lot of that. Stephen A. Smith was talking about this, and I do want to play this, and I'll get a chance to kind of comment on it. Stephen A. Smith saying Lakers should actually be scared of the Portland Trailblazers.
Hell yes, they should. They have a lot to be concerned about when it comes to the Portland Trailblazers, and mainly because of what we witnessed last night. See, these are the kind of things that Damian Lillard is capable of doing on any given night. Now, the brother's averaging 29 for the season, okay? This brother's all world. I thought he was first team All-NBA last year, and that he deserved strong consideration for that, because Steph Curry had missed some time. We all know that Steph Curry is the greatest shooter in the world, okay? But when you talk about a point guard with shot-making ability, Damian Lillard is the one dude that can challenge him to some degree. He's just sensational, particularly when he gets hot. He's got tremendous poise. He ain't scared of anything. His range is off the charts, and he's got a lot of heart. And he just said, y'all must have forgot who the hell I am.
That's Stephen A. Smith on Damian Lillard. Listen, Blazers are going to get the Lakers' attention. No question about that. Blazers, you know, starting for tomorrow's matchup against the Blazers, there's going to kind of be this mentality about the Portland Trailblazers riding all the momentum, getting the opportunity to kind of nothing to lose as you go into this matchup. You got a chance to hear Damian Lillard talk about it on a number of different occasions. If we were going to come play in this Orlando bubble, we wanted something to play for. They had something to play for. They surpassed the Memphis Grizzlies, took the eighth seed, won one game in the play-in tournament, and now they get the Los Angeles Lakers. But I feel like there's been so much conversation about the Blazers and just less about the Lakers. Sometimes I think we forget how good Anthony Davis is. Sometimes I think we forget how dominant LeBron James has been in the postseason. And that's not to say that, you know, this Lakers team is just going to walk into the postseason, everybody's just going to lay down for them. No, I was talking about this on Friday. I think it was on Friday, or it was actually on Thursday. I was talking about how the Lakers, tell me another team that would have a tougher road to an NBA championship than the Lakers. Think about that for a second. Think about what the Lakers would have to go through to win an NBA championship. They'd have the Portland Trailblazers in the first round. They'd have Houston or Oklahoma City in the second round. Everybody thinks Houston, but we'll kind of see what happens and what unfolds with Russell Westbrook. But Houston, certainly a matchup. They could present problems. Lakers have had some problems with the Houston Rockets, especially since they've gone, you know, so small as they are now. That would be your second round matchup. Your Western Conference Finals matchup would be a Clippers team that just beat the Dallas Mavericks 118-110, the final score. Clippers now 1-0 in that series. But your Western Conference matchup would be against a Clippers team that, listen, the Clippers are stacked. I mean, I don't care if you're a Laker fan or you're not. You look at that Clippers team and, you know, you look up and down that lineup. They got something to prove. They got a chip on their shoulder. They've never been past the second round. They have players that are hungry as well, a championship caliber coach in Doc Rivers. So we can, you know, sit here all day long and pretend like the Clippers aren't arguably the best team in the NBA. But that path that the Lakers would have to go down is the Blazers, is potentially the Rockets in the second round. The Western Conference Finals would be the Clippers. I don't know of a tougher path to just get to the finals. And then once you get in the NBA Finals, you got the Milwaukee Bucks or the Toronto Raptors or the Boston Celtics or the Miami Heat, one of those four teams waiting for you. That is the toughest path to an NBA championship, no question about it. No question about it. That'd be the toughest path to an NBA championship. All right, I got one more clip that I do want to play here, and we'll start wrapping up the show. Head coach Frank Vogel talks about how the Clippers, certainly not your typical eighth seed.
Well, definitely not your typical eighth seed. You know, they played at an elite level during this this stretch in the bubble, at least offensively. And we've got a ton of respect for, you know, for obviously for Dame and CJ and Nurkic. But really for their whole team and their whole culture. They got a system that's been together for a number of years. They have the continuity piece, conference finals last year. So just a ton of respect for their what they're bringing to the table.
Definitely got the respect for the Blazers, but still a little too much hype. still a little too much hype when I take time and I think about it. That's always what goes to my mind. It's like, damn, this media hype machine is going crazy. But it's not, by the way, it's not just the media. It's also fans. You know, you get caught up in individual performances, what Damian Lillard has done. Lakers got to come out tomorrow. They got to jump all over the Blazers. They really do. I'm a firm believer in that. Windhorst was talking about that earlier in the show. I'm a firm believer that game one is very important for the Los Angeles Lakers. Go out, take some of this confidence away from the Portland Trail Blazers, and start gaining your own confidence back. It's been so long since I genuinely can say that I've watched Lakers basketball and just said that, wow, that's championship caliber basketball. It's been a while. It's probably since March. Because in this bubble, there wasn't a purpose to do it, a reason to do it, and I just didn't think it was getting done. So I think it's a combination of all those things. And game one's going to be key. Game one's going to be important. You can't let Portland come out, get the first game, and all of a sudden they're riding all that momentum that they've had over the last couple of weeks, and they could take that into the postseason, number one versus number eight, and they grab it in the first game. You definitely can't have that happen. All right, so quick thank you here to everybody a part of the show. Brian Windhorst covers the NBA. Appreciate him coming on. Jamie Hudson, thank you as always, covers the Blazers. She spent some time with us. Like I mentioned, don't forget tomorrow, pregame 4 p.m., tip-off at 6 p.m. L.A., as always, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it on the ESPN app or on iTunes. L.A., have a great rest of your night.